Can you believe it's been 20 years since the Olympics were held in Atlanta? Wow, right? My father-in-law and brother-in-law, the three of us went up to Atlanta to see some of the games. We got to see Michael Johnson in his gold shoes break the Olympic record in the 400-meter race, which was one of the most electrifying events I've ever attended. I don't think I've ever experienced anything quite like that. We also saw Dan O'Brien come out on top after those 10 grueling contests in the decathlon. He also won a gold medal. But you know, the athlete that caught my attention the most was a little-known Italian runner named Stefano Baldini. In the 10,000-meter race, which is a little over 6 miles, Stefano Baldini finished dead last. A man from Ethiopia won the race, won the gold medal, set a world record. But Baldini, you see, was impressive because 7 of the 25 runners did not even finish. They pulled out during the race, maybe got a cramp or something. And next to their names were the letters DNF, did not finish. Some of them just went over to the side of the track and slumped over. But not Stefano Baldini. After the first several miles, he was clearly in last place, and it was obvious he wasn't going to move up, that he was doomed to be last. And then it even got worse. For you see, the field started to lap him. The lead runners lapped him once, then twice, until every runner in the entire field lapped Baldini at least 2 times. While Stefano Baldini was running the last mile, the scores of the other runners were already being tabulated, and the medals were already being brought in to give to the top 3 runners. But as Stefano Baldini went around the track, something interesting happened. The PA announcer told the people in the stadium that Baldini was running the last mile faster than he ran any other mile in the race. And then the announcer said, Stefano Baldini's time has been going down every mile. In other words, he was running the last mile faster than the first. And when he crossed the finish line, the crowd in that big stadium just burst into applause. Applause for the man who not only finished, but finished well. I wish there were more books written about finishing well. More books about staying power, about completing the task. You can find plenty of books about starting something, starting a diet, starting a business, starting a relationship. Everyone wants to start something. But how do you deal with finding yourself in the middle of a race in last place? How do you find the strength to keep on keeping on when the journey is difficult? Where are the books about completing the journey? And not just finishing, but giving your best to the very end. Well, there's one book that tackles the subject. It's the classic Eugene Peterson's book, A Long Obedience in the same direction. Peterson writes honestly about the Christian journey, about the millions of people who begin the Christian journey but then stop. You know, there's a dreadful attrition rate. Many people start the race, but when discipleship gets difficult, demanding, or when our prayers aren't answered the way we want them to be answered, or as soon as someone from the church hurts our feelings, we drop out. Peterson says that only a few people have enthusiasm for what he calls the patient acquisition of Christian virtue. Few Christians sign up for what earlier generations called holiness, or what John Wesley called sanctification, which is a process, a journey. Everyone wants to start the journey, says Peterson, thinking it's a sprint, when in reality, it's a marathon. And so what do we do? What do we do after we started the Christian journey and the honeymoon ends? How do we continue being faithful? How do we sustain the journey and complete the task? How do we be like the Apostle Paul, who near the end of his life said, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith"? You know, every year, the Cleveland Marathon is held on the very same day as a much shorter race in Cleveland. In fact, both races have the same starting point. They just begin at different times of day. Well, Georgine Johnson, a 42-year-old secretary, accidentally entered the 26-mile marathon thinking she was entering the 6-mile race. It wasn't until 4 or 5 miles into the race she suddenly realized, "Oh my goodness, I'm in the marathon. How do I get out of it?" And then she thought, "Well, I've never entered a marathon. I've never run a marathon. I've never even trained for a marathon. So I'll just see if I can go 7 miles. The most Georgine had ever run was 8 miles. Well, indeed, she made it through 8 miles. "Now," she said, "I'm in uncharted waters. I think I better just take it 1 mile at a time and see how far I can go." And by taking it 1 mile at a time, she soon was in the teens. At which point she said, "Well, now I'll try dealing with this a few steps at a time." And when a few steps at a time brought her to the 20th mile, she said, "Now I'll just take it one step at a time." And you know, Georgine Johnson finished the entire marathon. "How did you do it?" people asked her. "Well, I didn't look at the whole marathon. I just said to myself, I'll take it to the next mile. If I finish that, I'll go on. You know, if I had thought about the entire 26 miles, I could have never done it." So one thing that can help us finish the race and finish it well is to take one step at a time. Or as the 12-step program tells us, one day at a time. This is hard for us, really hard for us, because we live in a culture of microwave and immediacy. We want to reach the goal. We want to accomplish something. We want results, and we want them now. We want immediate gratification. So it's challenging for us to live one step, one day at a time. It seems to me that the key is to reframe things a bit, to see things, to think about things differently, to reframe it so that the process, the journey, is the gratification. You're probably familiar with that great poem by Robert Hastings called The Station. Tucked away in our subconscious is an idyllic vision in which we see ourselves on a long journey that spans an entire continent. We're traveling by train, and from the windows we drink in the passing scenes of cars on nearby highways, of children waving at crossings, of cattle grazing in distant pastures, of smoke pouring from power plants, of row upon row upon row of cotton and corn and wheat, of flatlands and valleys, of city skylines and village halls. But uppermost in our conscious minds is our final destination. For at a certain hour and on a given day, our train will finally pull into the station with bells ringing, flags waving, and bands playing. And once that day comes, so many wonderful dreams will come true. So restlessly, we pace the aisles and count the miles, peering ahead, waiting, waiting, waiting for the station. When we reach the station, that will be it. When we're 18, when we get that promotion, when we put the last kid through college, when we buy that 450 SL Mercedes-Benz, when we have a nest egg for retirement, from that day on, we will live happily ever after. Sooner or later, however, Hastings says, we must realize there is no station in this life, no one earthly place to arrive at once and for all. The journey is the joy. The station is an illusion. It constantly outdistances us. Yesterday's a fading sunset, tomorrow's a faint sunrise. Only today is there light enough to love and live. So gently close the door on yesterday and throw the key away. It isn't the burdens of today that drive people mad, but rather the regret over yesterday and the fear of tomorrow. Regret and fear, Hastings says, are twin thieves who rob us of today. Relish the moment is a good motto, especially when coupled with Psalm 118. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So stop pacing the aisles and counting the miles. Instead, swim more rivers, climb more mountains, kiss more babies, count more stars, laugh more, cry less, go barefoot more often, eat more ice cream. Amen to that. Watch more sunsets. Life must be lived as we go along, he says. The station will come soon enough. Hastings says that the journey is the joy. That's how you live in the present. That's how you live one step, one day at a time, by making the journey the gratification. So let go of the regrets of yesterday and the fear of tomorrow. Those will weigh you down, and you won't be able to run a good race with those things attached to you. You will have to tap out. You have to live in the moment to run a good race. My Uncle Phil was really good at this. If you knew him, you know that's so true. He made his transition last month, and boy, did he finish well. Even though cancer had taken his body, it didn't shake up his spirit. He was still giving his famous one-liners and those incredible facial expressions, even on the day he died. He loved life so much, he was in the race all the way because he took one step, one day at a time. He knew that the journey was the joy. He appreciated the trip and everything along the way. God's beautiful creation, God's beautiful music, and especially God's beautiful creatures called people. And that's how you run the race. That's how you go the distance. By appreciating the journey and everything along the way. Another thing he did well that helped him go the distance, and this is tricky now because I just said that it's important to live in the present. But it's also important to have hope and goals for the future. You see, Robert Hastings said, where we get in trouble with the future is when we worry about it, when we fear it, when we obsess over it. But what can help us go the distance and finish well is having hope and dreams for the future, seeing the possibilities. A close friend of my uncle's came to see him the very day before he died. And Uncle Phil said to the person, you know, I'm dying. And that can be difficult to respond to when someone tells you that. But this person did a really good job at it as she reminded him of the full and wonderful life he had led and how many people and lives he had touched. Then you know what my Uncle Phil said, how he responded. He said, but I'm just beginning. Wow. Isn't that incredible for someone 86 years old to say, but I'm just beginning? He felt he had so much more to do, so many more goals to achieve, more people to touch. And that was really it for him. He just wanted to touch more lives. You see, that's an important key to going the distance and finishing well, wanting to touch more lives. And I think this statement, but I'm just beginning, also meant that he had learned so much about how to live. That he understood about what Richard Rohr was talking about when he calls it second half living. And that he wanted to live longer and experience life after having this knowledge. Which means my Uncle Phil was a life learner. He was a seeker. He was very observant and was open to learning new things. And I think that's another key to going the distance and finishing well. There are some other important things we can do to help us go the distance. We need a support system. We need a caring community of faith. People who are there for us for the long haul. Through the ups and downs of life. That's critical. Someone to help pick you up if you fall down. Or, as we should say, when you fall down. People to laugh with, people to cry with. And of course, in order to go the distance, we need to train well, to exercise spiritually. If we want to stay in the race, we need to grow and develop our faith. We need water, we need fuel, we need nutrition. We need to develop resources to draw upon when our lives get barren and we feel like quitting. Just as a runner trains and develops muscles and stamina and endurance, just as a runner replenishes his or herself with Powerade and protein bars, the Christian runner has to be able to dip down into a reservoir and come up with something when his or her spirit is low. Spiritual training does that for you. So as Christians, we have to train. We've got to exercise spiritually by worshiping, by praying, by being with study groups, by meditating, by being fed. And these things need to be done frequently, routinely. You can't run a marathon by training one day a week. And we, of course, need to experience rest and some fun and relaxation. We have to pace ourselves. It's a marathon. And so, if you take one step one day at a time, if you see that the journey is the joy, if you live in the moment and appreciate God's creation, if you dream dreams and have hope for the future and see the possibilities, if you are open to learning new things, if you surround yourself with a good support system, a good community of faith, if you train and nurture yourself spiritually through worship and prayer and study on a regular basis, if you pace yourself with rest, fun, and relaxation, and if you always want to touch more lives, then I promise you, you will go the distance and you will finish well. It was August 30th, 2004, a Monday morning, and I wanted to take a bath. I usually take a shower, but this day, on this Monday morning, I really wanted to relax. You all had undoubtedly given me a lot of stress the day before. So I got a newspaper to read while I was soaking. Isn't that a pretty picture? You're probably wondering why I remember this particular bath 12 years ago. As I am soaking and reading the paper, I see an article about the closing ceremony of the 2004 Summer Olympics. The Summer Olympics had just ended. The night before, they had the closing ceremony. There was a picture of a man who had won the last medal for the United States at the Olympics. That's why they had his picture. He was the last American to win a medal. I don't remember his name. He won a silver medal in the grueling 26-mile marathon. I read on. And I see listed the name of the man who came in first place, who won the gold medal. Do you know who it was? Stefano Baldini. Now you know why I remember that particular bath. Stefano Baldini won the marathon. The man who came in last 8 years earlier, the man who got lapped by the entire field, but the man who had finished well. May we do likewise. And then one day we will hear those words, "You fought the good fight. You finished the race. You kept the faith. Well done, my good and faithful servant."